Today on More to Life, when feelings attack at war with your emotions, we're going to help you win the battle for a healthier emotional life. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, when feelings attack. You know, we're taking a light approach to this, but the reality is, I mean, all of us have moments where we get carried away with those feelings of anger or sadness or frustration or anxiety or resentment or worry or you name it. There are a whole bunch of feelings that we'd rather not have to deal with.
Amen.
But they are there anyway, and we have to figure out how to have a healthy relationship with them. And so today on More to Life, we're talking about how to win the battle for a healthier emotional life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825, whether you would like to handle certain feelings in certain situations better, or are trying to help someone you care about manage their feelings more effectively. 877-573-7825.
It's a daunting task. You know, we've all heard that expression, you're your own worst enemy. Sometimes those more negative feelings, or what we're perceiving as negative feelings, make us our own worst enemy. We feel like we're being attacked from within with all of those emotions you just named, Greg. The anxiety, the anger, the frustrations, the impatience, the whatever those things are. And they can range from, you know, the occasional happening to, God forbid, all the way to feelings of despair. Our emotions are part of us, but often they can feel like they're against us. And whether it's us dealing with our own feelings, as you were saying, which is tough enough because that's sort of the silent battle within us, or us dealing with somebody else's emotions, the person at work that's always flying off the handle, the spouse who's dealing with their own emotions and they're affecting you, the kids who are just a myriad of emotions all the time because they're growing up, they've never had these experiences before, they may be going through hormonal things, they're going through all sorts of stuff out in the world, and you, as the mom, the dad, the grandparent, the caregiver, are on the receiving end of so much of that, or are desperately trying to help them feel better and cope better. Oh my goodness, I think When Feelings Attack is a very good title for today's show, and if you're dealing with that and you want some new skills and figure out how to connect more with God's grace and His will in the situation, well, we'll help you figure that all out today on More to Life. Give us a call. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Yeah, some particularly good news for all of us Catholics. A study that I came across in preparing for the show that was published in the Journal of Psychology and Theology talks about how when we pray about our feelings, when we use other spiritual resources to deal with our feelings, we can have healthier relationships with our emotional life and better emotional regulation than people who don't use spiritual tools to manage their emotions. We're going to be talking throughout the program about what that looks like, starting with our Theology of the Body reflection in just a second. But I just wanted to put that out there, that God gives us tools to have healthier relationships with our feelings. Our prayer life, our spiritual practices, don't just relate to our spiritual lives, they relate to every part of our lives, including our feelings. And so we want to talk about how to use those spiritual tools to have healthier emotional reactions and help the people in our lives have healthier relationships with their feelings, too. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, do certain people or situations provoke feelings in you, like anger or frustration, sadness, resentment, worry, anxiety, and others that you're not sure what to do with? Do your feelings sometimes run away with you and make it hard for you to be the person you'd like to be, either in a particular situation or with a particular person, or maybe in general? Is there somebody in your life, like your child or your spouse or someone else you care about, who really needs help handling their feelings better, but you're not sure what to do? Well, however emotions are complicating your life, call in and let us help you respond better to the times when feelings attack. 877-573-7825.
And I just want to be very clear, just because we've given this, you know, a cute name, does not mean we're diminishing in any way. In fact, we're acknowledging the struggle that goes with dealing with these emotions, especially when they either take us by surprise or become persistent in some way and become a very heavy burden to bear. There's nothing lighthearted about having to deal with this, but there are ways to help. Give us a call today on More to Life, 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And, you know, your first reaction might be, well, how can some theology help me deal better with my emotions? I am glad you asked. So, St. John Paul, when he was Pope, he kind of asked a big question. He said, if we looked at everything God's given us, you know, creation, scripture, salvation history, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and having healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what we now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that our bodies, including the parts of our body that are responsible for producing emotions, were created by God to work for our good and the good of others. When we have a healthy emotional life, our feelings help us to respond to the world around us in ways that can lead us closer to God and to one another.
Well, that's right. And St. John Paul said that there were two false ways of relating to our emotions and one good way. So the first false way might be what we call the Stoic approach, pretending our feelings don't matter and trying to live as if our emotions are somehow beneath us. Now, the other false approach to feelings is the addict, who lets their feelings control every choice, claiming that to be authentic is to go wherever their emotions lead. And neither of these approaches reflects God's plan for our feelings.
Instead, St. John Paul suggested a third way, what we could call the mystic's approach. The mystic understands that God is speaking to us through our feelings. But because of the fall, we don't always understand how to hear his voice clearly or respond to the problems our feelings are pointing toward in a way that reflects God's will. That's why we need to bring our feelings to God in prayer.
Well, exactly. And, you know, neuroscience actually supports this. It tells us that emotions start as bodily responses to the things that are happening around us, and then our higher brain, our cortex, turns those responses into stories about what these situations mean. But sin makes us poor storytellers. And that's why we need to bring our feelings to God right away and pray something like, Lord, help me relate to these feelings in a way that pleases you and respond to these situations in a way that reflects your will. And when we can do that, he helps us learn how to respond to our emotions and the situations that provoke them in a way that glorifies him, helps us be our best selves, and works for the good of others.
cultivating a healthy emotional life isn't about ignoring feelings or about being ruled by them. It's about letting God show us how to harness their power for love.
Okay, that all sounds great in theory, but how do we actually do it?
Especially when you're feeling them all.
Well, and when somebody's getting under your skin or pushing your buttons or a situation has got you feeling frustrated or worried or angry or you name it, we want to help you manage your feelings gracefully and also help the people around you have a healthier emotional life too. Let's talk about those times when feelings attack. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. And then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you all of our feelings. And we ask you to help us to have a healthy relationship with our emotions, to avoid the temptation to just ignore them or pretend that they are beneath us, or to get carried away by them, and instead to learn to bring those feelings to you. And ask you to teach us how to respond to our feelings in ways that help us be our best and serve your will, and respond to the situations those feelings point to in a way that will glorify you and help us work for the good of the people involved. Help us to have a healthy emotional life so that we can glorify you in everything that we do and build your kingdom by responding gracefully to the challenges we face. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
And by the way, since we were just praying, I wanted to remind all of our listeners that Pope Leo XIV has called for Catholics worldwide in this month of the Rosary to pray the Rosary daily for peace. In the Ukraine, in Gaza, all, everywhere, we need to be praying to God for that gift of peace. And so we invite you in this month of the Rosary to pray on your own or with your family for that gift of peace. If you'd like some help, you can download the Ave Maria radio app and tap prayer to let Father John Ricardo lead you through praying the Rosary. Beautiful experience and a worthy cause in this month of the Rosary. With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. We're talking about those times when feelings attack. If you're feeling at war with your emotions, let us help you win the battle for a healthier emotional life.
Let's talk now with Maria, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Louisiana.
On Catholic Community Radio. Hey, Maria, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, thank you. I'd like some advice on responding to my husband about, I'd like to be considerate of his feelings, and I'd like to validate them, but without condoning behavior. For example, I always feel like something happens and comes up, and it's always on a day when maybe under the influence of a little too many beers. And those are the days where the patience is less and all these things, and then he's passing me up and things happen, and then the next day I get an apology like I'm at an airport right now because I'm going out of town. And from yesterday, an incident, all I got was, I love you. The reason I got fussy last night is because you kept treating me like a five-year-old. I'm perfectly capable of watching the grandbaby without supervision. And I didn't even answer. I thought to myself, what happened yesterday had nothing to do with watching a baby with supervision. It's all an illusion in his mind. And I really want to answer and say, that's not what happened. But I don't want to not validate his feelings, because when I respond like that, then it comes back.
Well, see,
she's not.
I want to just clarify something. You, in the example that you gave, had he been drinking there as well? Or is that just...
But that's not why. That's not why I went outside. I went outside because I knew my daughter-in-law was going to be there and I wanted to tell her bye.
No. But the reason I'm asking that, is because if somebody is displaying unhealthy emotional behaviors after they've been drinking, that's not so much an emotional problem, it's an alcohol problem. And so I want to... are you saying that he has a tendency to express himself poorly whenever he's been drinking, is what I'm understanding you say the problem
only
is,
way,
yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So
and
it's not a question that if you...
I try to talk about it, seems like I'm rehashing, but I'm not rehashing, I'm trying to understand what happened.
Yeah, well, what happened was he was drinking. And so the reason I'm saying that, okay, is because any other thing he says is kind of irrelevant. Because the problem is that he's drinking to the point where he can't control his feelings appropriately anymore. He can't respond to his emotions. And so there's nothing really for you to validate. That's an alcohol use disorder right there. That's an inappropriate use of alcohol, which is resulting in problematic expressions of his feelings. And so there's nothing for you to validate. And in fact, so when you get a response like that, he acts that way last night, and then he texts you today and says that he loves you and he tries to give you some explanation. Your response needs to be, honey, it's not about any of that. It's about the fact that you have a problem with alcohol. And until you address that and stop drinking to the point where you can't control your feelings appropriately, there's nothing else for us to discuss. You need to get help for your drinking problem. So it's not a matter of validating his emotions or if you were telling me this without that he was getting upset about different things, and it wasn't because he was drinking, you could validate the emotions and then redirect toward solutions, right? So you say, you know what? I appreciate that you were frustrated about the child care situation. I want to talk about how we can handle those situations better the next time. The problem here is, even if you talked about how to handle that situation better the next time, if he's drinking the next time, he's not going to remember or be able to follow through. So the problem here is that you need to get alcohol out of the way for you to be able to rely on him to follow up with anything. So until he learns how to not drink to the point where he can't express his feelings appropriately, the only problem is his drinking. And that's what you have to keep bringing the focus back to. Now, I would encourage you, Maria, to either be seeking help for yourself, if he won't go to counseling, so that you can learn to set these better boundaries and know how to avoid any of the kind of codependent traps that cause you to kind of inappropriately validate things that really shouldn't be validated. I would encourage you to also go to an ACOA group. Or no, excuse me, not ACOA group. Al-Anon, excuse me, not ACOA. Al-Anon is for people who have a loved one with a drinking problem. I would encourage you both to seek some help to learn how to deal with this more effectively. I don't know whether he's actually addicted to alcohol or if he's just abusing it, but either way, the real problem here is if you're saying that he only expresses feelings in unhealthier ways when he's been drinking, then the drinking is the problem, and it's not a matter of validating his emotions. It's a matter of calling his attention to the problem drinking.
And that's the answer to your overarching question here, Maria, about his feelings and how to deal with what he's going through. I would be remiss if I did not add, absolutely, positively, unequivocally, should no one who is drinking or doing any kind of substance be babysitting a child.
Yeah.
So if he's saying, I'm perfectly capable of taking care of a child without supervision, no, he's not.
Not if you've been drinking, you're not.
He's in an altered state. No parent in the world, no grandparent in the world who knows that somebody, even if it's another grandparent, is watching a child with having had a substance that will alter their capability of taking care of that child should ever allow him or her to do that. So that is a non-negotiable, and you might really need to bring in, you said your daughter-in-law was coming to pick up the baby. You might need to say to your kids, I will watch this child at your house whenever you need me to, if it's in my schedule, but until dad gets this under control, we can't allow him to watch your baby.
So thank you for bringing that in to you, Lisa, because that's absolutely critically important. So, Maria, I hope that this helps you shift your perspective on what the issue really is. This is not a matter of validating or invalidating your husband's feelings. It's a matter of calling attention to this very serious drinking problem that is causing him to relate to his emotions in an unhealthy way. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls on our show today titled When Feelings Attack. As we talk about those times when we are struggling to have a healthy relationship with our emotions for whatever reason, or help someone we care about express their feelings more respectfully and effectively. 877-573-7825 is the number. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls about feelings, but we'll also be talking with Anastasia Northrup. She is the founder and director of the National Catholic Singles Conference, and she'll be talking about how to help singles deal with the multitude of feelings that they have about being single and what to do with those emotions. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues right after this.
underwritten in part by this not-for-profit.
Hi, this is Mike Ditka.
Hey, this is Brian May.
Hi, I'm Chris Farley. You're listening to The Kevin Matthews Show.
I thought he was insane. A lot of people thought he was insane.
Nobody could touch us. We had 10 million people listening to us a week.
But that was my past. If you would have told me I'd be carrying around a broken statue of the Virgin Mary, talking about God, I'd say, are you high?
Broken Mary, The Kevin Matthews Story. In theaters one day only on Tuesday, October 7th. Tickets at BrokenMaryFilm.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today we're talking about emotions on our show titled When Feelings Attack. If you're at war with your emotions or struggling to help someone you care about deal with theirs more effectively, we're here to help. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Anastasia Northrup. She is the founder and director of the National Catholic Singles Conference. Anastasia, welcome to More to Life.
Good to be here, as always.
Well, and you shared with us that you wanted to talk about, you know, the different feelings that singles can have about their frustrations with maybe wanting to be married but not being married yet. How can we relate to those kinds of feelings that come up when our particular desires and goals aren't being fulfilled the way we wanted them to be?
Sure, yeah, and it's a huge struggle that many, you know, singles have, and especially that, and then wanting to have children, which, you know, couples that are struggling with infertility can also relate to. But I appreciated what you were saying earlier about, you know, our brains tend to add stories to our feelings, you know, kind of create a whole narrative. And I think sometimes we can, when we're experiencing frustration or disappointment or even anger or resentment, like really sadness and grief about our life not being what we had imagined it would be, or, you know, what we had expected, we can add to that story this dangerous thing of like, oh, it's because, you know, God doesn't love me as much as he loves my married friends, or God, you know, doesn't care about me, or God, you know, I don't have as much of a vocation as other people. All these sorts of things that are actually, you know, not part of the real story, the true story, right? And so I think what you were saying before about like asking about the prayer, you know, God, what can I do with this, and how can I glorify you? Like, we need to make sure, like, validate our feelings. Like, yes, it's okay. It's very understandable to be in grief that you couldn't experience marriage at this point in your life or children at this point in your life. But, you know, let's not let that keep you from the joy that God does want us to experience right now, what his will is in for, you know, is for us in that moment, in the current moment. And so I think it's kind of a both and, like, you know, yes, you have these feelings, but this is not like God's plan for you to just live in sadness and grief and frustration. You know, he does want joy and he does want love for you. So I think that's super important to navigate, single.
And I think as part of that, I mean, I'm wondering what your thoughts are on this, but one of the things I try to do personally and coach our clients to do as well is, you know, to see that sadness or that frustration as sort of a a recognition, you know, that our heart is recognizing that God does have a plan for that desire. He has a plan for those feelings. We're sometimes having a hard time hearing what that plan is or knowing how to respond to it, but that ache in our hearts is really coming from the Holy Spirit saying, I have a plan for you. Come to me and learn from me and walk in my steps so I can show you where to go next. What do you think about that?
Well, I think all the longings in our heart, as far as, you know, love and family and like that unity that we all desire, that is part of God's plan, as you mentioned. And so sometimes when life doesn't look as we expected, God can have that desire fulfilled in different ways, which again, you know, aren't the exact same thing. But I definitely think we should say, okay, Lord, what do you have for me in this? Where do you want me in this? Like, you know, what is your will for me in this? Where could I be a gift? And what gifts do you have for me in this? Because there is a gift in it, even if we don't see it. And taking from St. Therese, you know, whose feast day it is, you know, with her little way, like,
yes,
we can just do the little thing, the little step, the little surrender to God, you know, the little recognition of his goodness and gratitude, you know. And I think that can be a practical way to get through all of the frustration and you know, because we don't want to sit there in our lives, spend our whole lives, you know, and these bad feelings, or not bad feelings, but you know what I mean? We don't want to spend our whole lives with negative feelings, right? So.
No, but by having this kind of prayerful approach to those feelings, we're able to ask God to teach us how to respond to them and begin to make a plan for moving forward, both in the short term and the long term. Anastasia, I want to thank you for being with us. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I want them to go to nationalcatholicsingles.com, because in addition to the National Catholic Singles Conference you have, in fact, you just had it in August, you do have events throughout the year, and it's an ongoing community. So if you are a single Catholic, go to nationalcatholicsingles.com. Excuse me, nationalcatholicsingles.com. And we're taking your calls, listeners, right now at 877-573-7825. We're talking about feelings today on our show, When Feelings Attack. If you or someone you care about are struggling with their emotional life, let's work it out. 877-573-7825.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus states that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, "I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire his blood, which is love incorruptible." The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. When children get to about age 10, they're much less naturally inclined to do something because their mom and dad said so. This isn't defiance. It represents the fact that their brains have developed to the point that they need to understand why they're doing something. Not because they want to challenge your authority, but because they have a God-given need to learn how to apply the lessons you're trying to teach them when you aren't there to tell them what to do. Kids raised with punishment-oriented strategies tend not to learn to think for themselves. They're effectively taught to follow the lead of the most commanding presence in the room. That might be okay when we're in the room with them, but when we're not, it sets our kids up to follow other leaders who have anything but their best interests in mind. How can you raise kids who know how to choose to do the right thing even when you're not around to make it happen? Check out Parenting Your Kids with Grace or visit CatholicHOM.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, When Feelings Attack. We're talking about the complicated relationship we have with our emotions. And when, especially those strong, what we might consider negative feelings like anger or anxiety or sadness or frustration or worry or resentment or you name it, take us over, it's just not a pleasant experience, and we tend to respond to that by either trying to shut them down or getting carried away with them, and neither of those things really work. We've been talking about a third way that St. John Paul describes in his Theology of the Body that enables us to bring those feelings to God and start to learn how to respond to them in ways that glorify God, help us be our best selves, and work for the good of the other people involved in the situation. Let us help you deal more effectively with your feelings, and also help the people that you love express their feelings a little bit better, too. 877-573-7825.
Before we take our next call, we want to send congratulations out to another EWTN radio partner, WRXJ 105.5 FM, serving Essex Junction, Vermont, is celebrating 8 years with us.
We want to send out congratulations to Donna McSorley and her whole team at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Radio, from all of us here at EWTN. Folks, wherever you are listening to EWTN Catholic Radio, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN Catholic Radio station so we can keep supporting you and living a more joyful, faithful, and abundant life. Again, thanks to Donna McSorley and all the folks at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Radio and everybody who makes EWTN Catholic Radio possible, especially you, our listeners.
Right now, we're talking with Jeffrey, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Arizona.
Jeffrey, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today, sir?
Well, good morning. First, I just wanted to thank you. You talked to me a week ago or so. I was the one that had the complex PTSD and felt like I was drinking out of a fire hose, et cetera. You remember that conversation? You may have
Yes, I do.
But I want to just give you an update, and it kind of wraps into when I turned on the car and heard what you were talking about. Number one, I did get your book, and it's a fabulous resource. It really helped me compartmentalize. Having said that, it's funny that this happened today. My three-year-old grandson was diagnosed with B-type leukemia in his spine, which... Yeah, I know, right? So, which, under normal circumstances, had I not, and this is where I'm going with this, had I not taken your book, called you that day, immediately I would have fallen into catastrophe. I would have catastrophized. But here's the thing. After reading, and I read your book cover to cover, when I heard the news, a calm came over, and I was able to process without going into full panic mode, which is what I deal with. But also, you talk about feelings. I heard Maria talking about alcoholism. I had the abusive alcohol situation myself. Your pain is really self-chosen when it comes to that, and I really hope that she finds a way through that. Having said that all the way around, and I'll just be brief quickly, thank you, because what you gave to me is a tool. My spouse replayed on her own podcast, and it has not only brought us closer together, being new to our area, we have now gone back and found a church that we regularly go to and have integrated ourselves into a community there, which I normally wouldn't have done because all that complex post-traumatic stress made me avoid it. And so thank you. That's really what this call was about.
Oh, gosh, Jeffrey.
Well, Jeffrey, what this call is about is the Holy Spirit just being present with you, leading you to listen to the show, leading you to that book, all because God knows what you're suffering with and we're suffering with, and also what you need to walk through as a family in this very difficult situation. We are adding your grandchild to our prayer list as we speak. But as grateful as we are that the book has helped, that the show is here for you, please know that that is God. Please know that that is the Holy Spirit just letting you know that he is walking with you. You are not alone. You can call upon the Holy Spirit at any moment of every single day, and that he wants to bring you all of this healing, both emotionally and your relationship with your wife, all of it. He may have used the show in the book, but this is all about God being there for you, Jeffrey, and we just stand in awe of the fact that we were part of it at all.
Well, let's just lift up Jeffrey's grandson in prayer right now. Lord Jesus Christ, we just give you Jeffrey's grandson. We ask that you would be with him and his family, that you would pour out your grace into the situation and lead them step by step through it to find the best treatment, to stay together through all of this, to have the peace that this world cannot give through all of this, and that you would guide them as they navigate these challenges with their grandson's health. I ask all this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
So, Jeffrey, we're going to continue praying for you and your family and your grandson in particular for his recovery. But I thank you so much for calling in. I mean, it's so humbling to hear how the Holy Spirit used our work to help you. Thank you so much for being receptive to that movement of the Spirit, to getting involved in a church community. And I know that, there are going to be times that are harder than the last couple of weeks have been, but stay with it. Keep using the tools that you've learned. Stick with the community. Keep doing the work. God clearly has a beautiful plan for your life and for your healing, and I want to thank you for being open to that. And he didn't mention it, but folks, if you're curious, the book he's referring to is my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, which really talks about how we can master those feelings of worry and anxiety and relate to them in healthy ways. We talk about spiritual strategies, psychological strategies, emotional and relational strategies for more effectively managing anxiety. I can walk you through it step by step in Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. And Jeffrey, if there's anything we can ever do to support you, please don't hesitate to reach back out to us here on More to Life. If you have updates about your grandson, we'd love to hear from you on that too. And if we can support you more personally through CatholicCounselors.com, that resource is available as well. But praise God for the amazing things he's doing in your life right now, and thank you so much for calling up and sharing that witness. I mean, that's why we do the work, but it's always lovely to hear from folks and so humbling to hear how God was using this whole situation where you were tuning in as you were and you got the resources that you did.
Yeah, always remarkable how people will just, God will get through enough to say to that person, turn on this station right now, and then something aligns. And it's just so wonderful in a world that seems so chaotic to see these pinpoint moments, especially when God leads somebody to say, no, call them back. Let them know that they're not speaking into the void. Because it's such a testimony, not just to us, but to everybody who listens, that even in what looks like a chaotic world, God wants to show up for us in a very personal, individual way.
And
we have to let him into that. And usually, when we're terrified, when we're traumatized, when we're dealing with those big emotions, we have a tendency to pull into ourselves and not talk to God or rage against him, which he can handle, but we don't leave a lot of space for him to work. And when we even crack open the slightest opening to God, he will take that invitation every time. And so, Jeffrey, thank you for letting so many people who are going through what you went through or something like it know that there is hope in God. We really appreciate the call.
And again, if you're interested in learning some of the tools that Jeffrey was talking about, check out my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. And we're taking your calls right now on our show titled When Feelings Attack. And we're talking about the very real complicated relationship that we all have with strong feelings like anger, resentment, worry, sadness, anxiety, you name it. If you are having a hard time not letting your feelings run away with you or express them in a way that's appropriate or healthy, if certain people or situations are provoking emotional responses that don't let you be the person you'd like to be, or if you're trying to help someone you care about, a child, your spouse, someone else who's important to you, handle their feelings better, but you're not sure what to do, call in. Let us help you respond better to the times when feelings attack. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Ezekiel chapter 26, verse 36.
I love this scripture, and honestly, I want to say, Jeffrey, I think this one might be for you as a reassurance to what God's doing in your life. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you.
Amen. And, you know, we picked this verse today because it really speaks to the fact that God has a plan for your emotional life. He doesn't just want to love you from afar. He wants to come into your heart and transform your heart and your feelings and your desires and everything that's part of you that causes so much tension and conflict in our life. He wants to show you how to have a new relationship with those feelings, with those desires, with those impulses, so that he can put in you a new heart and a new spirit that enables you to respond to all of those feelings and all of those desires in ways that helps you glorify him, be your best self, and work for the true good of the people around you. With that, we're taking a break. When we come back, though, more with your calls on our show titled When Feelings Attack. If you're struggling with your emotions and would like some resources to help you have a healthier emotional life, or help someone you care about deal more effectively with their feelings, let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life. We'll be back with more of your calls coming up right after this.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa. And on Twitter and Instagram, at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled, When Feelings Attack. You know, all of us can be at war with our feelings from time to time, at least. Maybe somebody's provoking an emotional reaction in you that's making it hard for you to be the person you want to be. Or maybe you care about somebody who's struggling with their feelings. Either way, let us help you have a healthier, more grace-filled emotional life. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Hillary, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Hillary, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hey, yeah, thanks for taking my call. So I'm feeling very under attack, I guess, by my own feelings.
Okay.
I would say mostly fear and anxiety, but also kind of some anger and resentment. I've got a situation where my brother, who's a 30-year-old adult, my younger brother, he's kind of been terrorizing our family for years. Unfortunately, there's a lot of mental health issues, addiction issues, but there's also like a lot of just hatred and anger that he has. And basically, I guess the gist of it is my dad has protected, or really more so enabled it for, you know, 15 plus years. So I've kind of been forced certain times to cut my brother out completely, and he lives very far away from me, so that's not been a problem. And you know, I have to do that to protect myself and my own family, because he also has a history of violence. He's been in jail and stuff, but most recently he's making threats against my family, and I mean, like, things like saying he'll hire gang members to come do things to us. I don't have, like, the access to those, so I have, like, nothing to take to a lawyer or police or something to show them. I just am hearing it from their...
You don't have access to the actual, the texts or the emails, the threats that he's making, you're
saying. Right. Okay. And
so he's not in contact with you. I just want to make sure I'm clear on this.
No, I've blocked everything.
So it's just other family members saying that he is saying this about your family, correct?
Yeah, but I'm not able to get access to, like,
right.
My dad is basically kind of holding on to those and is not, again, once again, not making the right decision and taking legal action, and instead just protecting him and then just kind of allowing him to terrorize everybody else.
So how can we help you today? I want to be specific about what we can do for you here.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I guess I just feel very confused about the next steps to take, because I feel like my hands are tied, you know, at least from like a legal aspect. So it feels
Has he
like,
made specific
you know,
threats against you, Hillary?
Yes, well, and again, I guess the part that scares me is, like, he's made threats in the past, and then he's actually, like, I could give examples of violent things he's done, but that where people didn't call the cops, so he should have ended up in jail, and he didn't. He recently had
I understand, but I guess I want to evaluate your safety here. So, I mean, has he hurt you directly in any way in the past? And are you in danger now? Like, do you feel like you said you live far away from him? Is he capable of either coming to you and hurting you, or having somebody come to you and hurt you? Or are you concerned for the rest of your family? Like, what's the exact situation here that we're worried about?
I think both. I think I'm concerned that it's like one of those situations where, you know, again, I could give examples of where he has actually acted violently in the past. And just one example would be he drove 3 hours in a fit of rage, busted down my dad's door and started beating up my dad. And my dad broke his hand defending himself and had that screw put in his hand and stuff. So I mean,
that's
like,
horrible. Has he attacked you?
Physically, no. I've never been actually physically attacked.
Well, the
by
reason
him,
that's important. Yeah, that's the reason that's important. Okay, I mean, the situation with the family is horrible, but you can't do anything about that if your dad won't step in and do things. So, what I'm picking up a little bit on here is the anxiety is coming from you falling into the role of the family savior. And so what I mean by that is that when we grow up in a chaotic family of origin, there's often at least one child who feels like it's their job to save the family from itself. And, of course, that's an impossible situation to be in. And the reason that the child feels that way growing up is because I don't feel like I can be safe unless I can get mom or dad or my brother or whoever to be healthy. And so it's my way of... I can't trust my parent protect me, so I have to step into the role of family savior of just trying to either smooth things over or always do the right thing so that I don't create even more drama or problems or whatever the situation is. And then when we grow up, even after we escape that chaotic and unhealthy family of origin, we tend to unconsciously hold on to that role of family savior. And I know this is going to be hard, Hillary, but I'm going to encourage you to step out of that role and realize that you can't save your family, that it's okay to put your energy into protecting yourself and your spouse and your children moving forward. And the most and in fact, I would like to see you set boundaries not just with your brother, but with your dad.
Yes.
And anybody else who is enabling your brother or who is facilitating this drama and chaos in your life. And it's hard to let go of those people, but your own mental health and possibly safe physical safety kind of depend on that. You know, sometimes the best thing we can do, the most loving thing we can do, is to refuse to be part of an unhealthy system anymore. Because as long as we are, then in some way we say this situation is tolerable. You know, so for example, as much as, for example, your dad might be upset with you or the rest of the family might be upset with you, if you said, look, until you guys learn to handle this appropriately, we can't be within, you know, 1,000 miles of any of you. That can seem cold, but in fact, it's the most loving thing to do, because what you're really saying is, this is not a healthy situation for anyone to live in, and if you guys can't recognize it, I'm going to stand as a prophetic witness
yes.
to the fact that this is no way for anyone to live. And if you and if you're upset about me not being part of your life, then you should realize that that's a sign that you need to take this seriously, because no one should live this way. And so, you know, as the godly person in this situation, I am prophetically calling the family to realize that this is not tenable, and I am not going to be part of it. And if you want to be part of my life, then you need to learn how to handle our brother effectively. And when he makes these kinds of threats, you need to call the appropriate authorities, and you need to get the kind of help that you need and that he needs. And if you're not willing to do that, I can't be part of this family anymore. Now, of course, if your brother ever showed up or contacted you directly, you could take appropriate steps.
Yeah, that's immediately calling 911.
But, you know, short of that, if he's not physically threatening you or directly threatening you, the most important thing you can do is set the boundaries, not just with your brother, but with your whole family, that says, I'm done with this, and you should be done with it too. And if you want to be part of my life, then you're going to learn to handle this better. And if you don't want to learn to handle it better, then I can't be part of this crazy situation.
And Hillary, I understand that your brother is dealing with, you know, severe mental health issues, that, you know, then he self-medicated with all these, you know, I get it. Believe me, seen it, done it, walked it with other people. But your parents, especially your dad, have gotten sucked into this kind of like thinking of your brother's mental health in the way they would a physical illness that you can just take care of if you give people enough, you know, TLC. That is not the situation for this kind of mental health problem. And they have chosen your brother time and time again over you and your well-being, your mental health, and the safety of your family. And it is time to stand up for yourself. And as Greg said, it'll make you a prophetic witness, but it'll also take them right to the wall of, wait a minute, we don't want to completely lose our son because look at all he's suffering through, but we don't want to lose our daughter either. And if you hold that hard line, at the very least, you're protecting your mental and physical safety more than you are right now. And hopefully it will speak to your parents in a way that has them wake up a little bit and make them realize that they need to get real guidance on how to handle this in a way that's actually better for your brother and certainly better for them and for your family.
But even if it doesn't, right, even if they never listen to you, we each of us has the right to self-defense.
Yes.
And to take appropriate steps to protect ourselves from unhealthy and dangerous situations. That's a God-given moral imperative. And so being part of this family system exposes you to that kind of danger. And I cannot encourage you enough to set boundaries, not just with your brother, but with your father as well, and anybody else who is enabling this very traumatic and unhealthy family situation. They might get mad at you, They might blame you. They might accuse you of not being Christian. None of those things are true. We actually talk about this more in my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's basically a book on how to set charitable, godly boundaries with people that that enable us to insulate ourselves from the drama while leaving room for possible reconciliation down the road. But we really talk a lot about how sometimes setting those kinds of boundaries is the most loving thing that we can do, because to love somebody means to work for their good. And sometimes the best way we can work for somebody's good is to refuse to be part of their crazy system anymore. That's God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. Hillary, if there's more that we can do to support you, I hope that you'll reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, follow up with the book, and the suggestions that we're making here on the air. If you would like more personalized support in making these changes, we're here for you. And that goes for you listeners as well. If you're struggling with your emotional life or handling the emotions of the people around you, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. Thanks for tuning in. Get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because there is so much more to life.
Is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.